The way that it sounds.
I have
like
so many stories, and yeah, I was in Africa.
Story day. It's
I was in Africa. You mean you can imagine me in Africa? My wife kept saying, "Shragi, don't say that." All right, but I have two halacha things I want to tell you, and one story thing.
One story?
No, but it's because you know we don't. And where's Mandel? That's it. He's in jail.
In the hospital last night.
The hospital.
Someone from Yeshiva was in the hospital, so he meant to be.
He's always. But then, why couldn't he come? Why, how come when I was sick, he didn't come to visit me?
Everyone's
good. No, but I went to have an X-ray. I went to have an X-ray.
That probably took 24 hours.
It took a while. I mean, I was in the hospital to have an X-ray. You know. I can't believe that nobody came to visit.
Hey, trust me. If we would have known, when we would have all came.
You knew I had them on?
Anything
to get. You know, didn't you? So why did you come?
Anything
to get. So nice. What do they teach you guys in yeshiva?
Anything to get out of Seder, but we didn't know.
Learn.
You know those Baal Zadim? This is what they teach in yeshiva? I love
those guys. Yeshiva when he was 10.
You know that guy? No, I hold like the Rambam. Idiot, the Rambam hates you. Rambam. I don't know anything about him. But I was really sick, and nobody tell your cousin, he's a gahak that serves me. Who is it? Who's your cousin, right? No, it's your cousin, right? Your cousin. Tom Gahak, that's what he told us. Okay, now, I should start with a story, or? I want to tell you, I'll connect it to the parsha or something, so that way, you know, if you eat by a meal or something like that, you could say over the, you know, and connect it to the parsha or something. But it's never good to say the things if you eat by one of my guys in the kaila, because they'll go, I don't know. But sometimes they don't know, and sometimes they fall asleep. You know, sometimes, yeah. So let me tell you first, you know, you all know that in this week's Parsha, Yaakov Avinu, he fought with the Sarshal Esau. I'm still a little sick, you should know.
We're visiting you now.
So you should all have Kavana to be my Mavakar Chaylim right now. That way you get another mitzvah. What? You take away 60.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, actually, there's not that many guys here. So I think you're going to wind up with more than I came with. But. So, the Maisa, it says in the Parsha that Yaakov, you all know, he had a fight with the Sarashal Esau. And the Kli Yaakov over here is a very nice Kli Yaakov. I have years. Like, I have these years where sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm ban mood, or sometimes I'm like in Svasem as well. This year is like a shtickl Kli Yaakov year for me, you know? Kliyaka is also nice. That's not that hard, the Kliyaka. It's like nice stuff. Once it gets hard, I go to the next one. So he writes like this. He writes, who is this star? Which we all know. The star is the Samach Mem, the Samoil. That's the Sar Shal Esav. That's the Malach HaMavis. And that was the fight. And the fight Yitzhar. But he says something so interesting. He says that, why is he called Samach Mem Aleph Lamed? I was sick. You knew I was sick, or you didn't even know?
Well,
yeah, I was sick. I wasn't there. You didn't even care.
Huh? Had the mic over the
back. Okay, but I was sick. This is awkward for all of us, but you should have come and visited me. I was sick.
Is that my room?
No, no one came. Okay. Akoponimix, why is he called the Samoil? Why is he called Samach Mem Aleph? I never knew this before. Do anyone know why? I mean, you probably thought that was his name, right? So the Kli Yaakov says, because Samach Mem Aleph is Sumo, and he blinds us. And that's the Ikkayach of the Satan of the Yetzirah, is that he blinds us. And he explains that to Pshat in the Pasuk, Vayavik Imai, Adalei Sashachar. He blinds us even to things that, there's two types of blind. There's one person that's blind, and he's so blind, he doesn't think there's anything wrong with him. There's one person who's blind, he knows he's in a matzah, and that's that, you know. And then when he crosses the street, he knows how to be careful, right? Another person, he's blind, and he laughs at other people. You know, I remember once, they say a story. There was a child that was in a terrible accident, and his legs got basically destroyed, and he had to be in a wheelchair. And Maisa's parents are so distraught, and whatever. They said, whatever this kid wants, we're going to give him, you know, because he's it's a wheelchair, and it's a terrible thing. You know, Maisa, it comes the first day, he's in the store, and he asks his parents, like, you know, can he have that wheelchair? That's like a real geschmacka wheelchair, no? So parents are for sure, no child. Kids are, the next day he's riding around the street and he sees that kid has like a mamish, like a motorized wheelchair. So he says to his parents, you know, that's mamish, a much better wheelchair. So he says, you know what, if you, anything. And then the next day he sees a kid has like on the back, like stickers on the whole wheelchair. No? No Shiloh, he gets all the stickers. And then they have like a little skateboard on the side of the wheelchair stuff. He knows to have like packages and things. He says his parents and this and that, you know. Anything. And then he's in school. And who's he in school with? You know, all these kids, Nebuch, with the wheelchairs. One day they take them all to the park. they take them all to the park. They have like, you know, and they're riding around in their wheelchairs, and they have like stickers and like Mercedes and like some other Nazi mobile. And all of a sudden, they see a whole other school there, a whole other school of kids, and they're all walking around and running around and everything. No, and what happens? So this kid's in the wheelchair. They look at them and they say, "Look at them. They don't even pregnant. They don't even forget. They don't have a motor and they don't have the stickers. They don't even have wheels. Look at them. Look at them." So what do you have to say to this kid? "Gesunde Kinder, you fools. Gesunde Kinder. These are healthy children. What are you talking about? They're healthy. There's something wrong with you." Right? So you have this blind person. If he has a problem, he's blind. He's blind. But then there's a person. He's so blind, says the Kliyakar, he doesn't even know he's blind. And he thinks the sun, the light of Emes, what he's talking obviously is about Torah and Mitzvahs, that's good. And he laughs at that. He blinds us so much so to not even know we're blind. And that's what he says in Pshat. To the point even where even light we're not able to finish. That's what he says. So let me tell you a story. There was once a lady, and she had a pet python. She had a pet python. You guys know what a python is?
Snake.
Oh, but a snake. It's like saying, you know what a monkey is, like a gorilla, you know. A python is like a first cousin of a boa constrictor. I'm saying, you know, it's like a python. It's a python. You ever saw a python? Like a python. A python is a very big thing. No. So, but she had a pet python. I'm not saying that this is normal, right? And she loved her python. She really loved her python. And like for let's say like for special treats for like Shabbos and things like that, she would bring him like, you know, normally he likes to eat like rabbits and things like that. But for Shabbos or whatever, so you buy special treats, so she'd buy him like a goat and like, you know, like a, or like no, like mamash on the way down here. A pet python. And she really loved her python. She would oil it, you know, like special python oil, you know, she would whatever. And then it came the winter, and in the winter time, Maisa, she says, "What? I should be warm under the cover. What? And the python shouldn't. Like, why? You know, why are you better than the python?" So she saw the python, you know, and you think like these pythons, they have like leather jackets and stuff, and they're not cold, and that's not true. Who knows? So she felt one day, and she felt that he was talking a little bit cold. So that night, she decided, you know what? I'm taking in the python into my bed, and she would every night she would take the python into her bed and she would cuddle with the python. I don't know, you know, cuddle, I think that's the word. And she was, it's not gonna get romantic, relax, right? But she's like, you know, and she would, you know, hug the python, and she would keep the python warm. And she noticed that the python was getting a little bit scrawny, you know, he was getting a bit like, you know, like he was losing weight. Oh wow, this looks so serious. Wow. I was sick. I had pneumonia. You know that? I was sick. Why didn't you visit me? Why didn't you visit me when I was sick? Well, what do you mean sorry? Sorry doesn't help. What's sorry?
I don't know what else to say. Honestly, I also didn't know.
This is so socially awkward. I'll tell you guys. You guys walked in. I feel a bit in the middle. Let me tell. Can I tell them for 2 seconds what went on? You okay with that? Let them have 2 seconds. Otherwise, they won't enjoy the end of the story. The story was, but I'll take the kids here. I'm not going to go through all the theatrics anymore. The story was that this lady had a pet python, and then I said to them, "Do you know what a python is? Right? And a python's like a big snake, and whatever." And she loved her python, and then she would give it special treats sometimes, like goats and whatever. These pythons are very. They eat rabbits and whatever. The kids are, what part did you come in? At that part? And that she loved the python so much, and she would oil the python. So then it came the winter. What happened in the winter? You got to do it the way I do. Why should I be warm under the cover, and the python shouldn't be warm under the cover? So every night she would come and bring the python into her bed, and she would cuddle with the python. And then I told them it's not going to get romantic, and that's where we're up to. Okay? Right? And then he dropped his book. Right? And then he dropped his book. Right? And then drop this coffee. But Baisai, I want to tell you, the python started to lose weight. And the matzah wasn't good. And he stopped eating. And she would bring home, like, his favorite stuff, you know? Like, sometimes you have, like we have, like, Bisley. they have like, you know, hamster bits, you know. And she would come home and she would go like this, come on, come on. And he would sit there like this, no, no, you know, like, it was like that. And then she noticed every night that she's right, he must be really cold, because he would come and snuggle with her, you know, and like he would like lean against her body, and she noticed he was trying to get all of his body warm because he would stretch out against her body, and he was clearly losing weight. He was getting skinny and scrawny, right, and lanky, and he wasn't eating. And she brought like even like major delicacies like an antelope one day or whatever. Nothing, mamish, you know, the olden times, she was, you know, nothing. So finally, after like 3 months, she noticed that this is really not a matzav anymore. So she went to, I don't know what they're called, but like they probably don't have veterinarians. She went to like a pythonarian or something, whatever. And she goes to this pythonarian, and she says, you're not going to believe, look at my python. Then she takes out pictures of her, like selfies with the python. And he says, not what he used to look. He used to look like this. He's a big old Vandika python, and, you know, schmacker. And now look at him. He's getting skinny, and he's getting scrawny, and it's terrible. So he says, you know, this, you know, tell me, describe me what's going on. She says, I don't know. When did it start? Started at the beginning of the winter, really. Started, what happened? So I said, look, I even noticed he was cold, and I took him into my bed. Ah, really, you took him in your bed? No. And what happened when you took him in your bed? Said, I'm telling you, that's when it started. He stopped eating. Really, that's when he stopped eating. And tell me, what would he do? She says he started to, like, you know, lean against me, and he was cold, and he would stretch, and you see he's getting longer and lankier and skinnier. Really, that's it. And then this all came, yeah, because I love my python so much. I really love my python. She started to cry. And I really love my python. No, so he said to her, I'm going to tell you what's going on over here. You know what's going on over here? This python, he really, really loves you. He really, really, really loves you. Now, last year in India, there was a python. And apparently, I don't know if you guys have no access to these things, Baruch Hashem, but I guess on Venice Manor, you know, they have this. You can even view this if you like. And, you know, and this python, he ate a Indian woman whole. Right? And she wasn't some, like, she was like can I know her, like that fat naked Indian, the daughter and whatever. She was like, she's like an anical, you know. She's, right? And he ate her whole, right? You know, dub, thanks for the grub, yay Lord. Yeah, like, he ate her whole, yeah? Because that's what pythons do. So this veterinarian said, do you know what he's doing? You know what he's doing? He really likes you, so he smells you every night. And he's like, you look yummy. You look very yummy. And you know what he's doing? He's starving himself so to make room for you, because he really likes you. And what the pythons do is they have to be taller and bigger than their prey. So every night he's stretching himself out and seeing, am I yet bigger enough? Am I yet going to able? Yummy. Am I going to be able to thank the good Lord? Right? And he's just waiting to eat you and kill you and eat you alive. That's the bedtime story I told my children that. That is what the Kli Yukker says. That's what the Kli Yukker says. You know what the Kli Yukker says? The Kli Yukker says that there are things that we love. We love them so much. Right? And we have to be with them. Love. And those are the same things that can eat us alive. You know, I'm not going to, you have Rebbeim fight you all day with this phones and all this and this. So then don't listen to me, Mitzad, the Nimshal. Just take them as Mishalim. You know, just like peer pressure, you know. These are things, we'll do anything for the friend and this and that, whatever. And even if that's the same thing, which will eat me alive and kill me and leave you for dead. You know, you take this phone. I'm not into you, you're Rebbeim, that's what they have to do and fight your phones. But just, you know. Just use it as a mushroom. This phone, we do every... I was just talking to somebody. I spoke by the Akhakala that was over here. And afterwards, somebody was driving me home and he wanted to talk to me about this. He told me that he has this phone. He said he just can't. It's not a gay to get rid of the phone for business and this. And he just can't. He was describing his life, right? He doesn't have a normal relationship with his wife. Doesn't have a normal relationship with his kids. He doesn't have a normal relationship with himself. He does not have a normal relationship anymore with God. He takes his phone into his bed, he snuggles it, he cuddles it, he loves it, he does everything, and this thing will eat him alive. It's a mushroom. I mean, that's, yeah, the story is true, but it's used this as a mushroom for all the things in the world that we do. Yeah? That is what the Sarshal Esav does for us. He blinds us. He tells us the things that you love and that you can't live without, and those are the things that are going to... So, you know, you have to be... What's your python? That's the first thing I wanted to tell you guys. Number one. Okay? Number two. Number two. I told you three things. Okay? Well, that was a dvar. What we call that? That'll be bedtime story. Okay? Number, I cannot believe you didn't visit me. I was really sick. I was sick. I had pneumonia and everything. Right? I don't stand it. It's very strange. You know, what are they
did
teaching?
Did Sammy visit you?
No, Sammy did not visit me, actually. No. No, but that's Lashon Hara. No. And I don't repeat Lashon Hara, so listen closely the first time. Right? Skada. My mom has never talked Lashon Hara. My neighbors are concerned. Let me tell you number two. Number two is I have an interesting aura, halacha aura. You guys, do I have any yekis over here? Any yekis over here? I'd be much more geschmack if I don't. Do I have any yekis? Okay, we don't have any yekis. No pronounced yekis, right? I have a kasha. You all know that there's a chiyuv to wash. This is unrelated, and it'll be as fun, but there's no pythons in this one, right? There's no romance between her and her python. And I have a shayla. If you guys have the answer, I'm okay with this, but we have a chiyuv to wash mayim achrayinim. Yeah, you all know that there's a chiyuv to wash mayim achrayinim. Some people think, you know, mayim achrayinim. You got to ask the guy, you wash mayim achrayinim? No, Shabbos, yeah. There's a chiyuv to wash mayim achrayinim always. You tell him, yeah, you wash mayim achrayinim? Before Hesia, always. You have a chiyuv to wash mayim achrayinim. Why do you have to wash mayim achrayinim? You all know mayim achrayinim. It's not even the hardest thing. The Mishabura's makel that you wash until the second knuckle. He says, it's chumras. Well, if you wash the second knuckle, it's not the biggest deal. Why do you have to wash mayim achrayinim? So there's a few reasons brought down. One reason is because the melech stoimus. This salt that exists, that's so dangerous, it's misame senayim. That's why I remember the word now. Because it blinds the person and whatever. So that's one reason. Another reason is because stam, if your hands are dirty, you're not allowed to make a bracha. That's the halacha always on anything. You're not allowed to make a bracha if your hands are dirty. So if you bench, and then after you bench, you wash your hands, you were definitely over in another era. You chose that you felt that your hands were dirty. Okay, the yekis don't wash my machrein. Why don't the yekis wash my machrein? So they say like this. They say that the ikar reason is because of this melech stoinus. The Gemara said they had some salt from stoim or whatever. And this salt, if you get it into your eye, it blinds you. So they don't wash mayim achrayinim. That's the minig of the yakis, and you know, anybody who knows this knows that the yakis, they don't. Oh, you'll ask them, but what about the other reason of Chazal? What about the other reason that the hands are dirty? Yakis says, well, my hands are dirty. My hands are never dirty. Right? The yakis, a person, his hands are never dirty. He uses a fork, he uses a knife, right? The chassid, the shuns of the mention, we use our fingers and toes and whatever, right? You know, the finger lock and also. So our hands are dirty. Okay, I have a kasha. I don't know, did I mention I was sick, or I didn't mention I was sick? We got him. I mentioned I was sick, I had pneumonia, right? So I was in a drugstore, right? And, you know, I was getting my pneumonia pills, and I was very sick, and didn't care at all. And I was in the drugstore, and I see the most interesting thing. I forgot to mention. Tosis says that today there are people that don't wash mayim achrayinim because we don't have melech stoimus. Did I mention that? I forgot to mention that. So the real reason, if you ask any good yakke, why did you're a yakke, right? Why did you wash mayim achrayinim? He'll say, what shaykes? My hands are clean because I use a fork and a knife. This is what any good yakke is, right? Because I'm a yakke. Right? And the second reason is because there's no melech stoimus. That's what Tosis says. We don't have that stuff anymore. It just sounds very logical, right? And the literature place can say, it doesn't matter, once Chazal were masakin, that's it. Even if the reason is batal, so then it doesn't make a difference, it's kind of remains, and that's the old machlekes, right? So you have the Yakesh Yid, he's sitting at the table, he's watching, you know, everyone's going around Mayim Achrayinim, right? And he takes the Mayim Achrayinim and says, here, you know, he gives it to you. That's how it goes. Okay. I have no problem with that until this week. I have an interesting shayla. What's a shayla? I walked into a drugstore because I was sick. Right? I told you, right? And you know those socially awkward people that repeat things a lot? Right? He's my brother. Anyway, so but it's true. You know that guy. So I walk into a drugstore, and you know, once you're there anyways, you're buying drugs. So I said, you know what? Might as well get like some deodorant, and you know, and I got myself a new They had this, gosh, not this out there. No, like a hot water bottle that you could, it's an electric hot water bottle that you could plug into the wall. I was like buying my, I was like, what are you doing? You know, I was the only guy in the world ever that goes to that actually took the shopping cart. in my car, I have all these deodorizers now, right? And one of the things I saw there was Melech salt from Yam HaMelech, from the Dead Sea. Yam HaMelech. Now, Yam HaMelech is the makor of Melech Stoimis. Because what happened? Chazal tell us that, you know, Light's wife, that's good English, turned into like a whole thing of juice, the whole thing of salt. Right? And that salt went down and it went into the Yam HaMelech. Rashi already is miramis to this in the Parshat Lech Lecha, I think. And that's what is the Yam HaMelech. That salt is the salt that if it goes into your eyes, it blinds you, whatever, because I was scared of this. The Peli Yoyit says it's the Ruchni sticker thing, even if it doesn't blind, it'll make you stupid. And you see a lot of people like that today, right? So, you know, it's Hayat Kasha. The Yekid Toysis says, you know why we don't wash Mayim Acharina today? Because it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist by us. That means that if you would ask Toysis, what if today it does exist and they sell it? So I went straight to the counter. I said, do people actually buy this? It's, yeah, actually, it's not much fabulous. Right? What do they do with it? They said some people, they cook with it because they claim it's extremely healthy and whatever and this and that, right? And all these types of things. You know that very intelligent guy who works behind I'm talking about, right? The self-made doctor and everything. And he's telling me all the things. And I'm the first person I want to actually talk to him, you know? Etzbaot and everything and fingers and toes and everything wonderful, right? I'm loving it. There's 500 people I'm like behind, like, you know, dying with oxygen. You know? I love this guy. And he's telling me it's healthy, and they sell it. I go, people mamish buy this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? People buy this, huh? So now I have a kasha. I have a kasha. So you have to do your homework and ask your local Yucca Orthodox rabbi and whatever. Ask, what's the heter today for a Yucca not to wash my machina? The whole heter is toisis. How do I know this? Because the Dr. Toisha brings down why do the Yuccas not wash my machina? Okay, so one reason the hands are clean. But what about the other reason Melech Stoimis? So Taisa says, because loy matzui Melech Stoimis b'neinu. But today it's matzui. So even if you say, but it's not so common, but Taisa, you know, even in the times of Chazal it wasn't common. How do I know even in the times of Chazal it wasn't common? Because Abaye says, there's one dot of soil for every 4,320 eggs. Right? So he was talking when he lived in Iraq where it was mamish not common. So you could say, in the year 1500, and 1600, 1700, we didn't even have that. And that's why the Yekka stopped washing my Mekrayim. But today, they sell it. Of course it's Matzi Atzlenu. So that's my kasha for the Yekkas, and you have homework, young man. Okay? And you'll come back to me. In the meantime, don't you dare wash. Okay? Because a minig is a minig, and if you change the letters a minig, you get Gehenna. Okay? You know? So don't change the minig in the meantime. Right? But in the meantime, you make the Yekka Shavabonim a little bit crazy. And now I have one last question, one last story to tell you. Want to hear a Gishmak story that happened this morning? This morning I have a Talmud whose luggage got lost, okay? And he called me, he's like in one of these oriental countries, Mustama doing chizik and kirov there, Avraham Avinu had children from the B'nai Keturi, he sent them over there to the, we believe that's where all the Orient is, that's why they come, and they're the cleaning ladies and everything, that's all. So he's over there, his luggage got lost, luggage is somewhere like in, you know, like, I don't know, it got sent to outside New York somewhere, but it's out of Nowheresville, right? And he says to me, listen, they are bringing my luggage on Shabbos. They're bringing my luggage on Shabbos. He says to me, am I going to be allowed to use my luggage? They're bringing it on Shabbos. So the first reaction you have to say is, a guy is doing something for a Jew on Shabbos. The halacha is that if a guy comes into a room and turns on a light, that's a Mefirish Halacha, it's a Mishnah. If a guy comes into a room and you didn't ask him, and he turns on the light for you, you're not allowed to use it. That's Halacha. Okay, some situations we say that you don't have to get up and leave your house or whatever, but you're not allowed, let's say you weren't able to read until that point, that's a Mishnah. You're not allowed to read now with that light, even though I didn't ask. Now there's this one thing called Amir Lakum, and there's one thing called that the guy is giving me a no. So he asked me, he's in the Kailam, and we learned Amir Lakum there. So he asked me, what do I do when they bring it on Shabbos? Okay, I don't have to like punch him in the nose, but I'm allowed to use it. I have in there. You know what I mean? So it's Amazon. The difference is like this. He's asking, what's the difference between Amazon? So it's true. It's true. It could be a Shiloh, but it depends. It depends. If on Amazon, wait. I'll answer you. If on Amazon, they say to you, we're delivering it today, right? That's their prerogative. If you pay extra for them to deliver it within 24 hours, meaning, let's listen clearly. If I, on Thursday, am being told that it'll be here on Saturday by Amazon, that is mutter. You know why? Because then it's their prerogative that they're bringing it on Saturday, and they could have got it to me by Friday. Okay? If, on the other hand, it's Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock, and they say, you know, not again, if they say we're bringing it on Saturday, but I don't ask for it to be brought on Saturday, that's also okay. Okay? But let's say I press on Amazon, you know, I want it shipping overnight, and overnight means it'll be here Saturday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So then that is awesome. Because it's impossible for it to get there before Saturday, and I asked for it. So our case, which you're asking very good, our case, so it was he asked me, can I tell them bring it on Saturday? He wants his underwear, right? He's asking me, can I even tell them to bring it on Shabbos, right? Or do I have to tell them, don't bring it, don't bring it. Now, if he tells them don't bring it and they bring it, so the Pais can say, so then you can't say there's a Mir Lachem over here, because the guy is obviously not listening to you, and then you would be allowed probably to use it, right? But he said to me, if I tell them don't bring it on Saturday, they're not bringing it on Saturday. Am I mechuyev to tell them not to bring it on Shabbos? So it sounds like pretty bad, right? It sounds like checkmate. They're asking him, do we have to bring it tomorrow? He told me. There's no way. He said, right now, he's right now, you have to realize, and I think he's in like Singapore or something. He's in a place where Shabbos is starting in about an hour and a half from now, right? Which means there's no way in the world that they can get it there before Shabbos. Which means if he tells them bring it on Saturday, he is telling them to do malacha on Shabbos, which is awesome. Okay, so it's like, checkmate, right? Maybe if I can get a heter on this, I should get like the Nobel Peace Prize, no? Right? No, because it's already global. It has to do with like Chinese people. And, No, really, I could really get a Nobel Peace Prize for this, no? So that, look, I'm going to tell you a heter. Want to hear a heter? Again, I want you to understand this. The Amazon case, I just told you two a heter. If it's 2 days, you know, Amazon Prime, let's say, or whatever, right? You know, let's say it's 2 days before. It's Thursday or something like that. And I say, you know, I have Amazon Prime, which means they're going to bring it to me within 2 days. I guarantee the delivery within 2 days. That's mutter. You know why? Even though they write to me, it will be delivered to you Saturday, 12 o'clock. You know why it's mutter? Because they could theoretically get it before Shabbos. Right? So they choose to bring it on Saturday. I didn't ask that. But if you're on Friday and you say, bring it to me tomorrow and you pay an extra thing for it, if they have on their website guaranteed overnight delivery and I didn't ask for that, that's also okay. I didn't ask for that. They did that on their own. Our case is that I am asking them, bring it tomorrow because the guy wants the month that he's in. You understand? He's walking around a little bit freestyle, don't you? You know, there's pressure in it, right? So he wants to know, can I tell them bring it tomorrow? So I want to tell you what I told him, and then I will let you all go. Right? The truth is, you can always go. I don't bring care it that much. Huh?
Just bring it as a problem?
No, even telling him to bring it is a problem. Then we'll see in a minute, could you use it? Okay? So I told him there's an Elia Rabba that the Mishnah Berurah brings down in the 276 Simon of Shulchan Aruch. You know what he says over there? The Elia Rabba says, what is into the case? And tell me if it sounds familiar. The Elia Rabba says there was a guy that walked into a room and the light was like flickering. The light was like flickering and whatever. It was working, but it was like flickering, whatever. The guy came over to try to like go like this to stop the flickering. And when he did that, he put it out. He put it out. So the second he put it out, right? He then put it right back on because he realized he messed up. Listen to this. It's mutter to use that light. I said, what do you mean? He's obviously doing it for the Jews, and I just told you that when he turns on a light, he's doing it for the Jews. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he's doing it to not look like an idiot. Says the Mishnah Berurah, who's he doing it for? He's doing it for himself, to fix his mistake. Okay, so listen to this. Over here, if I say, does this case sound familiar? Does this case sound familiar? What? Thank you. Did you, right? Who? What did you guys up messed? You know? Who messed up over here? Right? Who messed up? They messed up. When they are doing this, why are they doing this? They are doing this for themselves. So therefore, mitzad amir la'akam, I can tell them, I can't say the words, you bring it tomorrow, because then that's real amir la'akam, right? But I can tell them, you know, you guys messed up. What are you going to do about this? And they say, we're going to bring it the first thing tomorrow and whatever, right? So then I certainly have a right to not object. And I have certainly a right to let that. I can't say the words, bring it tomorrow. Because then that's Amir al-Akam. You also can't tell that guy, go turn on the light that you turned off. Because you can't say the words, right? But if you just sit over there and the guy, he does it. And he's bringing it the first thing and he's doing it to give you enough. So then that is mutter. There's just one problem. is that it's coming chutz latchom. And things that come mechutz latchom, you're not allowed to use because they were outside the tchom. So this, you'll have to take my word for it. I have a Ramban, the Bir Halacha brings, in the 405th siman, in Tafhei. And he says that the whole city is considered one big Dalai Lamas, and we're making like that b'shas etzchak. So I told him that the guy could bring his unter hoizen and he could wear it on his head. Shteis? Okay, let me tell you one last story. Yeah, probably not on the head. Now, let me tell you one last story. Because so, I don't like
anything. That clue would apply for Amazon also, if it's from within New York City, let's say, or something.
But they have a different problem with Amazon. But mitatchum, you mean?
Yeah.
Mitatchum, I would not be makel on this unless it's shas etzchak. Things that are coming on Amazon, it's usually not a shas etzchak. Here, the guy is walking around like a little, you know, like a, you know, a little bow legged. You know. I want to tell you one last story. Who's here from Munkach? No. Let me ask me after that. I want to let these guys go. Who's from Munkach? Anybody from Munkach over here? From like behind? Because then you'll know the story. You know, the story is like this. There was once a guy, we'll call him the Munkacher guy, and the light was off on a Friday night. So how are you going to get the light on a Friday night? So they tell the guy, you know, let's call him Ivan, because that's what they're all called in Munkacher. Say, Ivan, listen, Hatzachan, you know, it's a really big problem, the light's off. You know, you want a beer? Beer, of course I want a beer. I love beer more than I love my wife. How do I love beer? So okay, so you can have a beer. He says, look, I can't see the beer. Okay, do what you want. So now he turns on the light. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, who did he turn the light on for?
Himself.
So now I'm allowed to use the light. So the story was like this. Munkacher guy. You know the story of Munkacher guy? So he went in, turns on the light, drinks his beer, go,
burp.
And then he walks out. Ivan. Yeah. The truth is, you're allowed to tell him, don't turn off the light. It's not a mere lock, it's telling him, don't turn off light. Right? Don't do malacha. You're allowed to do it. Okay, but what happened was, Ivan, you want another beer? Yeah, of course, I love beer. I love beer more than I love my wife. It's a long story. Comes inside, right?
Burp.
Okay, and then, and this went on. I don't have time because Shabbos gone. It went on like 18 times. Should I do everyone or you get the point already? You know? So let's pretend we're up to time limit 17. So now 18, right? Goes in, again, the whole story comes out. That's it. Turns off the light. So finally, so this the Munkacher Yid, he says to him, right, turn on the light, you idiot! Right. So they tell him, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't you know that Amira Lenachri is Aser? How did you tell him to turn on the light? He says, Amira Lenachri is Aser, but Amira the Behema is Mutter, and that is a fair.
Good job.